His disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. He calls the Canaanite woman a dog, and it's not because she's begging and pleading, but it's because of who she is. So in the presence of God, a woman is begging for him to help her by healing her demon-possessed daughter, and her request, her plea, is denied. Why? Because she's a Canaanite. She's not a Jew. She even does some good things. She calls Jesus Lord, not Rabbi. That's good. She uses the title Son of David. That's good. She has some understanding of the Old Testament and that biblical character, David. Where is she yet? Looking for help for her daughter? She's not visiting the witch up the road. She has come to Jesus. That's good. But after ignoring her, what does she hear from our Lord when he speaks? "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not good to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." A dog because you were born a certain way. This word of God cuts the heart, doesn't it? Imagine God denying you because of your DNA, because of who you are. Yeah? That's a horrifying thought, isn't it? And yet, have there been times when you thought that was the treatment you were getting? You pray. You plead. You beg. You come. You come to church and nothing happens. You pray for something good, like a relief from suffering. God takes the pain away, and what happens? It gets worse. You go to confession and absolution. You finally muster up the courage to go. And you hear the forgiveness of sins, and you walk out feeling great for maybe a week. Then the guilt comes rushing back. You go to church, go through the motions, you say the prayers, you do devotions, and yet your life is a wreck. It's one thing after another. I think a lot of us can relate to this woman. Even the disciples are saying, "Jesus, send her away because she is crying," and who wants to hear a cry? A cry from a person who just won't stop. Who wants to hear that? Well, the answer is your God, and I say that for multiple reasons. It's interesting to note where Jesus is at when all of this happens. Yes, it's a Canaanite woman, okay, but given his location, should we have expected anyone else? Jesus isn't in the temple nestled deep in the heart of Jerusalem, the city saturated with pious, fervent Jews. He's in the regions of Tyre and Sidon. You don't have to know exactly where those regions are, only if you know these regions aren't in Israel. He's in Gentile country, and a Gentile comes to him. And that raises the question, why? Why, if Jesus doesn't really care about these people, is he in their region? The answer is in the question, isn't it? He does, in fact, care about these people. God cares about every sinner. God does not desire that the wicked perish, but that the wicked turn and believe and be healed, redeemed. Recall when Jesus encounters the centurion. That's a different story, but you probably recall it when he engages the centurion. The centurion wants Jesus to heal his servant and says, "Just say the word. Just say the word and my servant shall be healed." What does Jesus say to that? He says, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and decline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." East and west with the Old Testament patriarchs. It's not just the Jew who gets in. It's not just the Jew who reclines at table with God, but even those from the east and the west. Or consider the Old Testament lesson this morning from Isaiah 56, the second part of verse 7. Maybe you caught this, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." Yeah. All peoples. Even the Canaanite? Yes, even the Canaanite. And there are many other passages illuminating God's love for sinners of all stripes, regardless of their blood. It seems like God wants nothing to do with this woman, doesn't it? Go away. You're not part of the chosen people. My bread is not for you. But does she go away? No, she does not retreat. And when Jesus calls her a dog, she doesn't disagree. Okay, fine. But even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. No argument here. And she doesn't try to talk her way into God's favor. She doesn't try to convince him otherwise. Oh no, you got it wrong, Jesus. I'm a great gal. You just don't know. None of that. No boasting from this woman. She wants what Jesus gives. And she believes he can give it. And she's not taking no for an answer. She knows her Savior can heal her daughter. And she doesn't let go, does she? Even when it seems the Lord Jesus wants nothing to do with her, she clings to him anyway. That's what faith does. Faith clings to God. Faith grabs and uses his word that he puts into our heart when we hear it preached. And faith, my friends in Christ, faith means trusting the objective word of a gracious God, even when it seems as if God is withholding his bread for someone else. This Canaanite woman is our lesson. Before God, our sins are exposed and clear as day. We can't argue our way out of a divine indictment, and we shouldn't try. But we're not called to vindicate ourselves, but repent and believe. Even dogs need crumbs. Yet Christ Jesus, when he hears this woman take his word and runs with it, "Yes, I am a dog, okay, but even dogs eat the crumbs." When Jesus hears this, when we hear it, oh, it's evident. This Canaanite woman isn't just somebody looking to God for a quick fix. She's not enraged because God isn't jumping quickly at her command. She has that real living faith that doesn't disappear, even when it might seem God wants nothing to do with her. Her faith holds on to the objective word of God. She knows better. She knows better. She believes in what he has. She wants what he gives. And the Lord Jesus looks at this faithful person. "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And so we learn, my friends, she is very much a child of God. Foreigner? Yes. But a child united to God in Christ. She believes in Jesus, the Son of David, who would establish his kingdom and obtain his church by the shedding of his own blood. He cares for her and he gives her. He gives her what she wants. We must also note another mark of her faith. She is persistent. She holds on to the word. That's what faith does. Despite situations and circumstances, she believes, she trusts. But this woman's attention, not only is it on Christ, but it's also on her neighbor. She's loving God and loving the neighbor, her daughter, in need of help. And notice how her faith affects her daughter. She prays for her daughter. She is there at Jesus' feet because she wants help for her daughter. The Lord gives her daughter help. The Lord heals her daughter. Take this point home. Friends, never tire of praying for your neighbor. And do not think that your prayers, when uttered in faith, when you pray in that name uttered to you in holy baptism, the name you live in, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do not think your prayers do not matter. Pray for those people who are sick. Pray for your neighbor who needs help. Maybe they need money. Maybe they need food. Pray for those who are demon-possessed. Pray for those outside the church that God would kindle faith in their hearts to believe, to trust, to turn, and be forgiven. Pray that they would receive Christ Jesus, who is our bread of life, in whom our sin is put away, forgiven, atoned for in full by his shed blood. In this fallen, damaged creation, I know there are days when it seems God is refusing your cries and your prayers are blown away by the wind. Do you have those days? Sure you do. We get tested. We get tested in trials like this woman. She was tested in that furnace that melts impurities. But the result is pure metal, free from imperfection. May your Lord and your Savior grant you faith always to believe his word, to trust him when he says your sins are forgiven. No, they really are. All of them, even your dark secret ones, they are paid for by the blood of Christ. Trust him when he says, I know what you need. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious as I clothe the lilies of the field and provide for the birds of the air. How much more worth are you? May God grant you faith always. Faith like this Canaanite woman, to hold on to his word, to receive the gifts that he promises to give you, and he will not change his mind. May God grant you faith to be content and hold on to the promise of love and eternal life, yours by the faith he provides. Truly a great, miraculous faith by which you believe and you are thus justified. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.